Chapter 23. Sensual Appetite. Everything around Remy, Hallie, and Veronica moved rapidly, as if it existed in its own realm. The stars streaked in the sky, and the lights from the city combined their glow. They moved faster than Veronica thought anyone or anything could move. Remy tightly held on to her as he moved in demon speed into downtown Minneapolis with Hallie close behind. They zigzagged around buses, cars, and pedestrians walking down the street. She felt her stomach churn, and throughout the whole wild ride she closed her eyes, fearing if she'd open up, the images would add to her nausea. The smell of car exhaust filled her nose, and she felt Remy slowing down, finally coming to a stop. Before leaving Blind Bluff Manor, he told her his speed would affect her. She didn't know what that meant until she found herself on the verge of vomiting.
He brought up the idea of driving, but she wanted to get to the cave before Celine changed her mind and decided to find Emma Nerdis.
Plus, Remy made it clear that he wasn't going to be caught in the middle of no man's land during sunrise. He then mentioned something that would help her control the traveling aversion. Something that humans drank to experience what it felt like to be a demon, minus the immortality. Something that she had consumed before. Sensual appetite. She opened her eyes. They stopped near the University of Minnesota. A snowplow drove by, pushing excess snow from the street onto the curb. He let go of her arm and watched Veronica slowly recover to her senses.
Fucking epic, Hallie cheered. Wow, I can always run like that? Keep your voice down, he hushed her. I don't want him to know we're coming.
They stood in front of a white, two-level home with a waist-high wooden fence with a shoveled sidewalk. A small sign which read, "Welcome to our home," was staked in the front yard. From the outside, the home looked nothing like a sanctuary.
You've had sensual appetite before, right? He questioned Veronica, who nodded and tried to rid the memory of the taste from her mouth.
She didn't want to think of the repulsing experience. Remy stopped in front of the steps, staring at the straw welcome mat in front of the door. He looked up and began to glance at the home like he'd never seen it before.
Is something wrong? Veronica quietly asked. He continued to observe. New paint job.
He tapped on the siding of the house. He peeked through the darkened windows of the home and the white window shades that covered them on the inside. The house was completely dark with no movement. She waited for Remy, who turned the knob and opened the door. She remained where she stood. Then she cautiously followed them into the home, hoping their presence was enough to ward off any danger they might encounter. Three men sat on a couch in the living room, facing a television. The first one who saw them enter immediately grabbed the remote and turned it off. He raised himself from the couch, nervous, and stared back at them. Veronica stood behind Remy, seeing the fear in their eyes. They were all minions, and they belonged to someone. From the back room, another group appeared from the hallway and stopped where they stood. Used cups, old newspapers, and various other trash littered the floor. The yellow-stained walls, also peppered with holes, contributed to Veronica's stereotype of what a demon sanctuary outside of Nathan's looked like. The repugnant air filled their nostrils. Two piles of dust and blood forming the shape of two bodies lay next to the television stand. The light fixture in the living room dangled from the ceiling by a cord severed at its base.
Disgusting. Remy took one slow glance around the room and took a step forward. Smells like rotten fish. Hallie covered her nose. A mouse ran in front of her, and she jumped. Fucking gross.
Veronica watched two female children standing near the staircase. One of them, who looked fairly young, held a small tattered doll in her hand, and the other stood in front, blocking the other from her gaze.
Where is he? Remy asked them. A male minion pointed up the stairs. He glanced over the two piles of dust. His work?
The male nodded. They headed up the stairs to the second floor of the sanctuary, which looked just as filthy as downstairs. Cardboard boxes crowded the hallways, some damaged from water dripping from the ceiling. The floor creaked as they walked. A cockroach ran in front of Remy, and he crushed it with his foot without interrupting his stride. An intricate cobweb spun above them from the left side of the wall to the right. This couldn't be the demon the Brotherhood spoke about. They weren't the harbingers of death and destruction anymore. They were squatters and out-of-control vagrants. These minions and their demon masters seemed too busy dwelling in their own filth to concentrate on someone as puny as herself. Somehow, along in their history, they lost their spine-chilling image. It was sanctuaries like these that were being destroyed and burnt to the ground. Veronica began to think that maybe it wasn't such a bad thing after all.
"It's the last door on the left," Remy pointed. They came upon the door, and without warning, he forcefully pushed on it. The door cracked, separating from its hinges, and crashed to the floor.
A female and a male, both naked and startled from the noise, raised themselves from their bed. The female immediately covered her breasts and her crotch with her hands, and the short-statured male smiled at the appearance of Remy.
"Hey, Holly." Remy moved to the right side of the bed, and Holly moved to the other. The male laughed and raised himself up.
Fully naked, he walked over to a pile of clothes stacked in the corner of the room. Veronica peered into the room, watching him dress in a faded shirt, which read "Drunk on Duty," and white soiled shorts. An odor of sex lingered in the air. She wrinkled her nose at the appearance of this demon who didn't seem to care who watched him parade around unclothed.
"Still fucking your food instead of eating it, Holly?" Remy briefly looked at the startled female. Holly smoothed back his short brown hair and shrugged his shoulders. "Best of both worlds."
His speech staggered with a prominent lisp. He whistled at the woman and harshly told her to beat it. She scurried out of the room with her head hung low. Now fully dressed, Holly sat back on his bed and pulled a pack of cigarettes from underneath his pillow.
"You don't knock anymore?" He lit one and inhaled. "I've never knocked," Remy responded back. Ollie's eyes focused on Veronica. "She's a cutie," he muttered. "But I'm not buying today. Come back tomorrow." "She's not for sale." Remy brushed aside dirt particles from the bed. He sat down and crossed his legs. "I need some."
"Need what?"
"Sensual appetite, you twit." Holly inhaled again, but delayed in exhaling.
"Don't have any." "I sell that shit like hotcakes. I get a new batch in tomorrow."
Remy reached out and yanked the cigarette from Ollie's hand. He crushed it in his grip and tossed it back into his lap. His reaction made Holly jump slightly.
"Jeez, you didn't have to do that."
Remy kneeled beside the bed, pulling out a small wooden box with a small lock from underneath. He placed it on the bed and yanked the lock and tossed the broken pieces on the floor.
"That's my personal stash."
Holly stood up. The box was filled with small glass vials stacked gently next to each other. The liquid contained in these vials varied from orange to blue to bright red.
"What's that?" Holly questioned.
"Human blood in a bottle, manufactured by demon for demon. It's like heroin for our kind," Remy answered.
"I'll pass." Holly's nose scrunched. "That isn't cheap, you know," Holly inhaled.
"How much?" Remy held the small vial between his thumb and forefinger, examining the reddish, bubbly liquid.
$500, and I'm being generous."
"Oh, Holly," Remy grabbed the liquid.
"You're funny. Did I ever tell you that?"
He tossed the vial to Veronica. He patted the bed and stood up.
"It was nice seeing you."
He walked toward the door.
You can't take that, Ollie rushed after him.
Remy turned around.
Why not?
I'll be short and my supplier will kill me.
Remy snickered and patted the top of his head.
Well, that's your problem.
Come on, Remy, my supplier isn't going to sit well with this.
I wouldn't worry about your supplier. Remy watched Veronica put the vial in her pocket.
I'd be more worried about Anastasia. She knows you're selling this shit.
They walked out of the room.
It's better than a taxi. Remy opened the vial.
They stood on the corner down the street from the sanctuary. The cold affected Veronica, and she began to shiver. The coat Remy gave her off his back helped a little, but she wasn't sure if it was going to help her while traveling in demon speed. The demon felt cold, but it was nowhere near the way a human felt it. The human heart worked harder at maintaining body temperature. As far as she knew, they didn't have a body temperature, nor did their heart beat at all.
Remy sniffed the liquid and handed the vial to her.
Are you sure?
She hesitated.
You can't continue to travel in our speed. Your heart can't take it, he replied. But this will help you tolerate it.
She glanced at the vial, then looked up at them.
For Mother, she thought to herself.
She dreaded tasting the same icky taste when she first had sensual appetite. She also feared what this amount would do to her. The drink she was given in Dark Sepulchre was mixed with alcohol, but this wasn't mixed with anything. She closed her eyes and tilted her head back, feeling the warm liquid ooze down her throat. She dropped the bottle, and it shattered on the pavement. Immediately she felt the effects of the drink. Her sight became blurred, and it was a challenge just to keep her eyelids from closing shut. Her head became too heavy to lift. She felt the cold of Remy's palm against hers.
Whatever happens, he pulled Veronica closer to him.
Don't let go.
She grasped him tightly and closed her eyes, hearing the wind rush in her ears. Her hair flew uncontrollably and her legs no longer touched the ground. She felt dizzy while they constantly moved. Her body jerked to the left and to the right, and the cold breeze blew down her shirt. They traveled in demon speed. For a moment, she felt a part of their world. She attempted to squeeze Remy harder, afraid of what had happened if she let go. She heard the frequent stomps of his feet hitting the ground, and he was in midair again, taking uncanny strides, strides unfathomable for a human. This experience felt nothing like she'd felt before, and nothing she'd ever feel again. Their speed increased, and the wind's cold chills brushed against her skin. She had no fear and no pain, only the feeling of floating and a sense that she was invincible.